The coal industry shaped parts of western Colorado, but after decades of stability, mining jobs are being phased out.
We need to find a replacement economy, and we need to recruit that, and that's not about getting companies to relocate. That's about trying to leverage whatever's endemic to that area.
I'm Jackie Fortier. Colorado is a resilient state. We weathered the Great Recession better than most, and overall, the state's economy is booming. But it's a different story in western Colorado. Benta Berkland traveled to two of Colorado's coal counties to see how residents and the towns they live in are working to reinvent themselves.
It's easy to see the impact of a strong economy in Denver. Construction cranes are up all over the city, and it's harder than ever to find affordable housing. But for Peggy Case, life is different on the western slope.
We go to Walmart and we're filling up three carts, and they're like, what are you shopping for? Like, we live in Nucla.
Nucla is in Montrose County. It's halfway between Telluride and Moab, Utah. Just over 700 people live here. There are no stoplights, and the nearest supermarket is 2 hours away. But Peggy Case and her family have called it home for almost 20 years.
Probably because he's ahead in the math
class. It just says empty.
That's why it says see Mr. Rodoco at the bottom.
Today, she's at the local high school registering her three children for classes.
This is our village. If my kid does something, I usually know they did it before they even know that they did it.
5 minutes up the road is the town of Naderita. It means little nature in Spanish. The quietness surrounds you as you drive through the expansive vistas leading into these small towns. Although school superintendent Mike Epright remembers when he was younger and Naderita was bustling.
When it was a uranium boom town and lots happening, and back in those days we had about 1,000 students in our school district.
Most of the uranium jobs went away in the mid-80s, and now there are only 300 students. And Epright expects to lose another 100 students after the tri-state power plant shuts down.
It's definitely one of those things, important things, of trying to find something to stabilize our community.
The New Horizon coal mine closed earlier this year.
There's this sense sometimes that people say, well, you know, those poor communities, you know, they're really in bad shape.
Irv Halter heads the Colorado Department of Local Affairs.
They're actually not. They're actually great places to live.
It's one of several state agencies currently trying to address the issue. A big challenge, he says, is creating diverse economies with multiple industries. And the solutions can be as unique as the communities themselves.
If you're a coal miner and the jobs are not as frequent here, but say they're still mining coal in Wyoming or Montana, you might decide, hey, I mine coal, it's what I do, I'm going to move up there. Those folks may not be interested in retraining.
Since 2015, Colorado has invested more than $9 million to prepare high school students for careers in the hospitality field, award grants to entities retraining workers for high-skilled jobs, and reimbursing employers who hire student interns in an innovative industry. Other federal money is also going to worker retraining. It's cliche, but Halter says only time will tell if it's going to work.
Patience is not a great virtue of Americans. That's what made us such a great country. But people want an answer, and they want it now.
But with industries shifting in Montrose, Delta, and other coal counties, there isn't a lot of time for some of these towns. Closing the New Horizon coal mine and Tri-State Power Plant in Naderita could mean the loss of 70% of the area's tax base. On the upside, there are newcomers like Ron Kittleson. He was living in Montrose, and when it was time to retire, he settled 2 hours away in Nucla.
I just like the people over here. They accepted me, and I just kind of fit in, and it's just a very comfortable place to live.
Kittleson points to the hiking as well as the fishing and hunting. And for a small town, Nucla has gained some notoriety. It passed an ordinance 4 years ago requiring a gun in every home. Now it may be time to look outwards.
It's unfortunate that the timing for the power plant and mine closing, because that's just a huge hit all at once. It's going to be hard for the community to absorb.
And for the families if they want to stay. Peggy Case's husband is expected to lose his job as a mechanic for Tri-State in the next year. She works as a substitute teacher.
But to raise a family, you can't raise a family as a substitute teacher. So everybody's depressed. I mean, they know what's going to happen, but we don't know exactly when. And I try not to think about it because I'll just sit down and cry.
Case is grateful her family has some time to figure things out, unlike a lot of others. And because her husband's parents and grandparents still live here, her family wants to stay too. Improving tourism and expanding agriculture are some of the ideas being floated to turn things around. But will that be enough? We'll explore that question in our next story.
As we heard, the loss of coal jobs in the towns of Nucla and Naderita in Montrose County are forcing many there to make tough choices. Should they stay and pursue new careers or move away? It's a decision that others have faced before. Benta Berkland continues our journey through coal country with a visit to another Western Slope county that's starting to turn the corner after its recent coal downturn.
By all counts, 52-year-old Noel Wickman is a success story. For about 9 years, he was a manager at both of Colorado's major molybdenum mines, Henderson and Climax. He liked what he was doing, but
writing was on the wall. Everything was slowing down. There's a lot of turmoil.
That's when he knew it was time for he and his wife, Julia, to make a change.
I was in the Air National Guard at the time, and I was retiring as well. So we took the opportunity to say, hey, we're going to pick the place where we're going to stay when we retire. Fully retired.
The couple ultimately settled in Hotchkiss in the North Fork Valley of Delta County 3 years ago. About 1,000 people live in this scenic valley that's scattered with farms and orchards. The Wickmans have a small ranch house on 4 acres just off the main road.
Come here. They're good dogs.
Noel is semi-retired. He used his GI Bill to learn a new skill, installing solar panels. Julia is a first-time farmer. She sells her produce at the Crested Butte Farmers Market each week.
Mostly cucumbers and tomatoes out here. This greenhouse, it's 12 by 50, and Noel actually built that.
It's something the valley is trying to cultivate more of. People are growing sweet corn, peaches, melons, beans, onions, and raising beef cattle and sheep. But the loss of mining has left a deep scar, according to County Administrator Robbie LaValle.
Delta County has experienced a significant downturn in our economy, and it was primarily driven by the reduction in two of the three coal mines that we have here. And we have lost over 1,000 coal mining jobs, and those were very high-paying jobs with good benefits.
The remaining mine is West Elk. Wendell Koontz worked there for 20 years. He's now the mayor of Hotchkiss. He says most of the mining families have left.
They were doers, very resourceful, very smart, very skilled individuals. It's sad to see that so many of them have left us.
But unlike Montrose County and the towns of Nucla and Naderita, Hotchkiss, Paonia, and Delta have had more time to adapt and diversify their economies. From his perch at City Hall, Koontz points to a new stand-up paddleboard shop and a new medical clinic is opening.
One of the things that we need as a North Fork culture here is to not limit ourselves to just agritourism or hemp production, but actually be open to more resource extraction wisely. Don't forget what built the valley.
And on the county level, Robbie LaValle says the region is wrapping up a broadband project to bring high-speed internet to its residents. They're also updating plans to boost outdoor recreation, including hunting and fishing.
No, we're not out of the woods yet. You don't replace those jobs. We are building the capacity and the infrastructure. You know, if we can build jobs five at a time, then, you know, we're on the right path.
But attracting people to fill those jobs isn't easy.
It's very empty because we're done running food this week.
29-year-old Emma Stouffer Griffin and her husband opened a small business in Hotchkiss in 2014.
We sent out 2 big trucks yesterday full and a truck out today.
They pick up and deliver food from local farms to restaurants and grocery stores. Their goal is to have a storefront shop next to the grocery store in town by next year.
Scaling up to a certain size is really hard because there's just not a lot of labor here to pull from. We could have easily hired a couple more people this year and we just haven't been able to find the right person that wants to work hard as we do.
Back at City Hall, Mayor Koontz says Hotchkiss is running a deficit budget this year. He is somewhat encouraged that members of the State Office of Economic Development and International Trade recently met with him for the first time.
If the state or the feds were actually to come in and offer real retraining, it would be here in this end of the valley. And it wouldn't be limited to fads of the moment, whether it's solar or whatever, but actual real retraining, whether it's mechanics, ag mechanics, value-added ag production.
The state has pumped $400,000 into the Solar Energy Institute in Paonia, where Noel Wickman received his training. But what might work for people like Wickman may not be feasible for someone supporting a family.
This is what we want to do. This has been a goal for a long time. When I'm 60, I get the military benefits.
But in the end, it's not only the workers that have to reinvent themselves. The towns are having to adapt, too. More on that in our next story.
The recent closure of a mine and soon-to-be-closed power plant, both in Montrose County, could slash tax revenue there by as much as 70%. As Benta Berkland tells us, that has both state and local groups laboring to find a replacement economy to help reinvent the area.
Boom and bust. It's an all-too-familiar cycle that follows mining. It's certainly created its share of ghost towns in Colorado, but there are places that have found ways to bounce back.
We had 11,000 people living in Telluride in 1900, and then the mining industry collapsed, and we went down to 340 people.
Paul Major is with the Telluride Foundation. The organization helps the region and local nonprofits through grants. Today, Telluride is known for its world-class skiing and its many summer celebrations, including the annual Bluegrass Festival. But what's working in Telluride may not be what town leaders in Nucla and Naderita in western Montrose County want or can replicate. Still, Major sees opportunity, especially for outdoor recreation.
They have trophy hunting. They have a river. They have great trails for jeeping, mountain biking. We need to find a replacement economy, and we need to recruit that. And that's not about getting companies to relocate. That's about trying to leverage whatever's endemic to that area.
Uranium was the big employer there until the mid-1980s. Coal filled in the gaps. But the New Horizon mine closed earlier this year, and the Tri-State Power Plant is next. That's left many with tough decisions. Do they stay or leave? Emma Pace is 17. She just started her senior year of high school.
My dad works for the coal mine, and once he loses his job, we're thinking about moving. And I just don't want to move back if my parents are here.
But there are those counting on the area to find a place for itself after coal.
Chicken Bryant Steak, $11.95.
Thank you.
Welcome to the Rimrock Hotel. You can't miss it. Orange trim punctuates the light brown stucco facade. The building dates back to the 1950s, but it was shuttered when Reed Mitchell bought it 3 years ago.
And it looked like the whole community was in the doldrums, and the one thing in my view that a community needs is a good place for people to stay and a good place for people to eat.
Mitchell tells me his 46 rooms are usually booked for most of the year. But the adage, build it and they will come, may not be enough to grow his business long term without other changes. Governor John Hickenlooper believes that includes broadband.
You have almost a responsibility that it's like a chain, and we're never stronger than our weakest link.
About 30% of the state doesn't have access to high-speed internet. That's especially true in remote areas like Nucla and Naderita and Telluride, which is why the governor was recently there discussing the topic of economic vitality in rural areas.
Can you imagine if you drove through the West and all these little towns that used to be boarded up, all of a sudden are kind of bustling?
To that end, the Colorado Department of Local Affairs has set aside $20 million from energy impact funds to focus on broadband. Irv Halter leads the agency. He says it's crucial for public safety and education, and that it opens doors for job creation by encouraging people to move there that wouldn't have considered it.
They may be doing code for Microsoft and, you know, out in California, but they can do it from home. These are hardworking people. But it's a lifestyle now where they, you know, at 2 o'clock in the afternoon, they want to go take a mountain bike ride. They can do that.
The state is also streamlining workforce training and economic development programs to make it easier for communities to access help following the loss of mining jobs in areas like Montrose and Delta County. Still, others are calling it home for the long term, regardless of the uncertainty.
I really want people to be here, and I want it to be booming, but at the same time, I want it to be quiet.
Emma Stouffer Griffin moved to Hotchkiss 7 years ago. She and her husband now run a successful food business. Part of Delta County's solution is switching over from a mining focus to agriculture. Stopher Griffin says that's attracting more young people.
We're meeting teachers and more agriculture farmers and librarians and video techs, and they all live here. They're all based here, and they want to be here for the lifestyle. A lot of this stuff has been here, just some new energy. And I know that the economy is not great, but it seems like things are starting to roll.
That sense of optimism was offset by others I met who are worried about their future and what the loss of mining means for the towns they live in. A divide between urban and rural is playing out in western Colorado. And even with the state focusing more on economic grants, job retraining, and broadband, it's too early to tell if those efforts will ultimately bridge the gap in coal country. I'm Benta Berkland.
Our series on reinventing Colorado's coal country was reported by Benta Berkland and edited by Brian Larson. I'm Jackie Fortier.